Let's pray before we open God's word together. Father, thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you bless us so abundantly. We have so much to rejoice in, so much to be thankful for, so much to praise you for. Help us to overflow with thanksgiving, with joy in your presence today. And God, I pray that you would meet each of us right where we are. Give us exactly what we need. Be with us. Bring your comfort to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thought it might be helpful to seek comfort today in the midst of difficulties. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Few verses there. As we look around us, this world is full of pain, full of sorrow, full of evil. Sickness, disease, death, depression, pain, suicide, persecution, even beheading because of the name of Jesus. These are some of the things that touch us, touch those that are close to us. We need the kind of comfort that will carry us through the grief and sustain us through the pain that confronts us in this fallen world. And for those around us, those with whom our lives intersect, who are in need of comfort, we want to be equipped. We want to be ready to bring strong comfort to those who are hurting. Now, our inclination is to try to fix the problem, to try to identify the source, to try to find a rational explanation for why. Our inclination is rooted in a desire to avoid pain at all cost. Our society has developed this mentality that pain is bad, suffering is to be avoided, and there's no good in it. So we need to eradicate it and find a reason for it and a way out of it. This was the approach of Job's friends, and he called them miserable comforters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is a chapter in which the word comfort appears 10 times in five verses. It means to call alongside, to exhort, to encourage, to strengthen, to console, to comfort. This chapter begins by speaking grace and peace to the readers. Listen, I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. He begins by speaking grace and peace to the readers. Grace, God's undeserved generosity. Peace, a reconciled relationship. Unearned blessing, reconciliation, come from God, God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he speaks a word of blessing to God. God is blessed. God is happy. God is delighted in himself and in all that it means to be God. He is happy, and we wish him to be happy. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something we find on the lips of Job, even in the midst of immense suffering. Job cries out, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." For many, in the midst of suffering, their tendency is to blame God rather than to bless God. But Job and the apostle here joined their voices to bless God in the midst of unimaginable suffering, and they invite us to accompany them in seeing that God is worthy, worthy of blessing even in our agony. The apostle blesses the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he calls the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Mercies is plural. There are multiplied occasions God extends mercy to sinners, not giving us what we deserve, what we have earned by our sinful actions. God is the Father of mercies. He originated mercy, and he has begotten multiplied mercies. If we ever experience mercy, he has brought it into being. He has fathered it. All God's many mercies come to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's no mercy outside of Jesus. Outside of Jesus, we do get what we deserve, and that is not a pretty picture. God's mercies come to us through Jesus Christ. God is the Father of mercies. Then he names him the God of all comfort. Our God, the source of every mercy, is sovereign over comfort. If there is any comfort to be had, he reigns supreme over it. He wills it. He calls it into being. He controls it, and he brings it to us. He is the God of all comfort. All comfort. There is no true comfort outside of him. If we want genuine comfort, we must go to him. If we want to bring real comfort to others, we must connect them to him, the God of all comfort. We tend to seek comfort in lots of different ways. We seek comfort in getting lots of money, or in spending lots of money, in eating lots of things, in drinking, or in denying ourselves. We seek comfort from relationships with other people, or in isolating ourselves from other people. None of this brings lasting comfort. Often we seek comfort through understanding. If only I can make sense of the situation, if only I can understand why, then I'll feel better, then I'll be able to deal with the situation. But God, as God revealed to Job, the true comfort comes in knowing God as God. Knowing he is awesome, knowing he is in control, and knowing that his ways are past finding out. As God revealed to Job at the end of the book, be quiet. Recognize that I'm God. God is the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. God is the one who comforts us in all our affliction. There is no affliction too great or too deep or too wide that he is unable to comfort us in. The word affliction literally means pressure, that which presses hard in on us. It's used for pressing grapes to make wine. It's used in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, when Jesus says, "The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." It's pressed. The way to life is hard, pressed, afflicted, oppressed, distressed. Whatever it is that's pressing in on us, threatening to crush us, God is there to comfort us in all our affliction. The God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, is present with us to comfort us. There is no pressure too big. There is no pressure too small for Him to bring us strong encouragement and hope in the midst of it. Over against all our affliction, He presses into us with His comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Here we're given purpose. God presses into us with His comfort over against our affliction, so that we are equipped to comfort others. Think about this for a minute. If you are going through a very difficult time, who do you turn to for comfort? Do you look for someone who seems to have it all together, who has apparently been able to avoid all suffering and heartache and loss, someone who has isolated themselves from all the pain of this world? Or do you turn to those you know have suffered profoundly, maybe in similar ways you now find yourself in, and have come through those deep waters with peace and joy and hope and depth of character? This is yet another problem with the prosperity gospel. Those who are living their best life now are impotent to give any real help or comfort to those who are suffering. They are Job's miserable comforters, pointing out why he's suffering, what he needs to change to get out of the suffering, but they can offer no real comfort because they just don't understand. God comforts us in our affliction so that we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Now, this is helpful. We may think that only those who have suffered in a specific way can comfort those who are suffering in that same specific way. For example, I may feel incapable of bringing comfort to someone battling cancer because I've never personally battled cancer. There may be some truth to that, and that someone who has experienced the specific type of suffering that you are experiencing is uniquely gifted to identify with you and with others facing that exact same type of suffering. But if you have experienced God's comfort in any suffering, under any pressure, you are competent to bring God's comfort to any person facing any kind of suffering. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If we have experienced the comfort of God in our affliction, we can comfort others with the comfort with which we have been comforted by God. The opposite is also true. If we have not experienced the comfort of God in any affliction, we are not able to bring comfort to others. God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we can comfort others with that comfort with which God has comforted us. So each of us need to understand, what is God's comfort for me? What is it? What is this comfort that God comforts us with? Because if I haven't experienced it, I can't share it with others. What is this comfort? Is it a warm, comfortable feeling? Is it some inner sense of well-being? Is it some cloudy, subjective, nebulous, fluffy sort of hope? Or is it rock solid and real, an anchor for the soul that is buffeted by life's storms? Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. We share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. The footnote in the ESV suggests another possible translation for that phrase. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound for us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Another translation puts it this way. Just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, thus through Christ our comfort overflows also. New American Standard translates it, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. The comfort we receive from God is no cloudy, ethereal feeling. It is as real as the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, sufferings which abundantly overflow to us. God can comfort us because God in Christ has entered into our sufferings. Jesus suffered for us. His sufferings abound to us. Here is where we find comfort. We find comfort in the sufferings of Christ. We find comfort in the cross. So let's review some of the concrete comforts that we have in Christ. In order to anchor our suffering and the comfort in our suffering in the suffering of Christ that overflows to us. I'm just going to list. There's so many. I'm just going to list a few that came to mind and share some verses where these come from. Comfort that is an anchor to the soul. It is a comfort to know that we are loved by God. Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows His love for us. He loves you. We have the comfort of forgiven sin. Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Acts 10 verse 43, to Jesus all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Colossians 2, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. We've been forgiven of all sin. What a comfort. We have the comfort of no condemnation. John 3, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. I deserve hell. And Christ took hell for me, and there is no condemnation for me. We're comforted by the gracious gift of justification, being declared not guilty. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Jesus satisfied God's wrath against my sin, and I stand before him not guilty, because the price has been paid. We have the comfort of peace with God. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. We can take comfort in our reconciliation. Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were enemies and we have been made friends with God. We have the strong comfort of Christ's righteousness credited to us. Romans 4. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. You can take comfort in the promise of eternal life. John 5:24. Truly, truly, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 17, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God. And that begins now when we believe in Jesus and continues in magnified measure throughout eternity as we are in his presence. We enjoy the comfort of being adopted into God's family as children. John 1:12. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Something we were not before. He has adopted us as his children. Romans 8:15, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We've been adopted by a Father who loves us and paid the full price of adoption. We have the comfort of the new birth. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. New birth, new life, inextinguishable life given to us by God. We have the comfort of a promised inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being kept through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. An inheritance. Adopted as His children. We don't deserve it, but He has qualified us. He has kept it for us. He has made us. Qualified to share in the inheritance. We have the comfort that God is working all things for our good. Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. God is working all things for your good. We have the comfort that no good thing will be withheld from us by God. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? We had no hope, we were His enemies, and He gave us Jesus as a sacrifice. If He gave us Jesus, what is He going to hold back? Nothing will He hold back. He will withhold no good thing from us. We have the comfort of being secured with the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 22. Who also put His seal on us and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. God has put the Holy Spirit in us, a guarantee of what's coming. We have the comfort of Christ living in us. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit residing in us, Christ living in us. We have the comfort that the Father makes his home with us. John 14:23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The Father makes his home with us. We have the comfort that Jesus will return for us. John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He has prepared a place for us, and he is coming back for us to bring us home to be with him forever. We have the confident comfort that to be away from this body is to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 9. "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So whether you are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. We have the powerful comfort that to die is gain. Philippians 1, verses 20 to 23. "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Far better. One more. There's many more. Add your own as they come to mind. There's so many comforts that come to us through the cross. We have the comfort in the promise of physical resurrection. Romans 6:8. "If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Romans 8:11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." John 11:25, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.'" Do you believe this? The comforts of the cross. The sweetness of the gospel are savored most deeply in the midst of the deepest of sorrows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the strong comfort that you give to us in Christ. Thank you that we have assurance, rock solid hope beyond the grave. Thank you that we can grieve. It is right to grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Thank you for all your promises. Thank you for the riches of every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, lavished on us, your children. Thank you for loving us and being near, being with us, never leaving us. May your name be blessed. May your praises be sung. May you receive the worship that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how he loves you. Bask in that love today. Allow him to overwhelm you with his love for you. If you don't know him, if you've not surrendered your life to him, this morning, do that. Say, I need you. I want to experience your comfort, your abundant provision for all my needs. Overwhelm me today with your love. Surrender to him. Give him your sin. Let him take it and give you his righteousness and transform you by his Spirit. God bless you.